How does it feel to be granted the chancellorship after being interim for a couple months?
Yeah, it feels great. I have to tell you, I'm so excited about this opportunity. And I was announced as interim in April of this year and became the interim in May. So it's felt like a lengthy interview process, but I'm just delighted and so happy to be able to serve as the chancellor of this great institution.
What do you think made you more qualified than the other candidates to become chancellor?
You know, I don't know anything really about the other candidates, so I can't compare myself to them, from here's what I did, here's what they did. All I know is what I have done, and what I've always tried to do is make decisions and undertake actions that are important for the best long-term interest of UWM, our students, our faculty and staff, and the community that we serve.
So were there any initiatives around campus that you wanted to start while you're interim, but you were kind of like, I don't know if I'll continue as chancellor, so now is the time to do it, now that you officially got the position?
Yeah, that's a great question, but I have to tell you, as interim, there really wasn't anything that I hesitated to do. I tried to make the best decisions and put initiatives forward for the best long-term interests of the campus. And by doing that, I didn't stay away from any decisions. I didn't hesitate. Obviously, there are not long-term commitments that I wanted to make. Although in my period, examples like the Panther Arena, I was the final signatory. Although that process had preceded me as interim in terms of how the decision-making began, it was on my watch that I said, yes, let's go ahead and do that. And, of course, that's a 10-year commitment. But I can give you examples of things that had continuity that I wanted to say, going forward, this is critical for the campus. So I don't see a lot of new initiatives as much as where we really need to do better at several specific things that I look forward to starting in 2015.
The initiatives that you have, did you basically go over all those in your speech the other day?
Those are the things, those five, around students, research, the engagements of the community, building a culture that supports those, and then our branding, the visibility, those five.
Those things that you listed aren't necessarily cheap, and we're still kind of down on tuition. There's the freeze. People don't want to raise segregated fees, but what would you recommend for funding, for getting more research and attracting more people?
Yeah, you're right. We are challenged. I mean, there's no other way to describe it. Our resource base has to grow. So we'll do that through at least three, if not four, maybe five different areas. Number one, we have to stabilize our enrollments, because that's so important when 82% of our budget is driven by the types of tuition dollars that education is supported by today. We are a state institution, but 18% of our budget comes from the state, where about 82% comes from loans, grants, research dollars, a variety of different things, and a big piece of that is student tuition. So if we lose students, then we lose our ability to serve more students. You know, so to have the faculty, to have the infrastructure, we need to have that. That's one. Two, our philanthropy, our fundraising efforts have to play a big part. We are in the midst of a quiet phase of the capital campaign. We want to raise money for students, for scholarships, for the different types of activities that students would benefit from in terms of centers for education, centers for athletics, centers, name the cause that students would be interested in. Then we want to find donors that could help support that. So that's a second piece is where we support students and faculty and innovators. A third piece is going to be where we ask for state budget support to the greatest extent that we can. And the fourth piece would be partnerships through the types of examples that we have with the GE Healthcare, through Johnson Controls, where our students serve as interns, get job opportunities, and other types of partnerships in supply chain management, things that we do with Children's Hospital, things that we do with others that can benefit us from resources. So those are things. And then if other people have other ideas about funding sources that we haven't thought of, I'm all ears. So we really, you're absolutely right. We need to grow our resource base. We've got for the last 4 or 5 years much less budget than we had 4 or 5 years ago.
In the past year, enrollment did increase 1%, you said, and
yes,
then 4% with freshmen. Was there
yes.
anything that you did specifically that that grew, or was it just kind of random?
Well, I like to think it was the, it was not random, it was not an accident. It was the result of a lot of dedicated effort of a number of talented individuals that we have on our staff and faculty. But one example would be 33,000 additional calls. 33 additional calls that have gone out and helped us recruit students, where we've reached out to families and we've upped our game. We've upped our game in terms of one of the initiatives that I've undertaken that I put in place was the Chancellor's Enrollment Management Action Team. That's CEMAT is the abbreviation, CMAT, Chancellor's Enrollment Management Action Team. And we have focused on what are some of the activities around student life experiences, student quality, retention. We are looking at how we use scholarships, helping make sure that the scholarship dollars that we have in schools and colleges gets communicated to students. I think it's the efforts that we have been working on and the real focus on enrollments, quality education, student experience. Those are the types of things that I think are at least in part responsible. Because demographics haven't changed. We're still declining. This state, about 1,200 fewer high school students graduate every year. That's been the case for the last 5 years. So for us to move up, we're going to have to do even more. And I think UWM's story is getting out there more. We have to do everything we can for our students, for our faculty, for our staff, to tell our story and how great this place is.
So you have focused a lot with connecting with Milwaukee high schools, like local schools. So how do you see that as a benefit as opposed to reaching out farther, especially if you just said that we're getting less high school students in state, like why not reach more outstate?
So we want to focus on not just high schools in Milwaukee. We have specific initiatives where we want to work with MPS, choice, and charter schools. You may know that we do actually charter schools. We're the chartering authority in the UW system. UWM is a chartering authority, so that's a role that we have with 14 or 15 charter schools. But it's important for us to work with high schools across the larger region, southeastern Wisconsin, and we have studied where do a lot of our students come from. But really, all of Wisconsin is what we see as pivotal. 91% of our students are from Wisconsin at UWM. The other 9% come from out of state or international. We want to grow that. I don't think it makes as much sense for us to go to the East and West Coast. It's just not as likely for people to move here, but certainly to go to Chicago, to go to the Twin Cities, to have in Detroit, for us to recruit students from the Midwestern regional population centers, that's fair game, and we will be working more on that. Student diversity is important, and being able to continue to draw from international locations is important as well. So we have worked on some of the efforts. We're going to be putting more resources into areas to recruit regionally, probably more than, again, Texas, Florida. It's just not as easy to recruit from the coasts as it is. So the dollars spent, I think we'd get much more bang for our buck if we stay generally within the Midwestern region, as well as some of the international locations where we have that great international reputation as well.
So retention is kind of a problem at UWM, but you kind of addressed that. I mean, trying to make more resources for students.
I think that's part of it. Oftentimes when we study the issue at UWM, like many urban schools, there's two issues for retention that are critical. One is the financial. You're absolutely right. Anything we can do to help students financially, and the tuition freeze, while we don't like it, that's got to help students. Keeping seg fees contained, that's got to help, because you're right, the cost of education, if we don't stop that, has continued to increase. The other piece, though, is academic preparation. And everything we can do to help with respect to making sure students are successful here, so making sure that math, reading, writing, you know, the language issues, those are critical for student success, because our student profile oftentimes is where we have a higher need for remediation. So that's not uncommon compared to the other Urban 21 schools in the country. There's what's called the Urban 21. And we're actually right in the middle. So that said, we haven't moved that needle in a decade on retention and graduation. We need to improve those types of metrics. So it's financial, it's academic preparation. the other piece of that that I think is going to affect both is the quality experience that we can provide doing more on campus that students really enjoy, really engage in. So we're working on those, and we'll continue that.
So not only do we have a problem with student retention, but in the last decade we've kind of had a problem with chancellor retention. So what does that mean to you as being the third chancellor in the last 10 years? How likely do you think it is that you'll stay in Milwaukee? You've already been here 25 years.
Yeah.
But another opportunity could happen.
Yeah. Well, I can't speak for the future I can't promise I'll be here forever. But having been here 25 years, my desire is not necessarily to be here another 25, but I see myself as being here for a long time. I'm deeply committed to UWM. I care a lot about this university and the city. I have now got this opportunity and obligation to try to do everything that I can to help UWM advance in many, many areas. Now, if you turn the table, it may be that you'd want to get rid of me after 3 or 5 years, but I do fully plan on being here a long, long time.
So you came from the West Coast.
Yeah.
Why did you decide to take up Milwaukee?
Well, I was looking to go to a good management department in a research-oriented university. And why Milwaukee? I had opportunities in North Carolina, I had opportunities in San Jose, I had opportunity in Seattle. But the opportunity here was particularly attractive because Milwaukee is such a great laboratory to be able to engage industry, to engage organizations with the kind of research that I was doing. And I also had a situation where my wife and I, as we were looking at locations, she found Milwaukee attractive because of her career where she needed to have a postdoc at an academic medical institution. So we had 5 cities in the country where we both had opportunities, and of those, as we looked across the offers and we thought about long term, we said Milwaukee is the right place. Now, the other part of the story, we didn't think we'd be here a long time. We thought 5 or 6 years, because we're from the West Coast. I grew up right outside of Seattle. My wife grew up Spokane and L.A., and we thought we'd go back. But after we were here for a few years, and we started our family, and we realized all the things that Milwaukee has to offer, from sports to music to the lake and all the outdoor activities. You know, you see the vacationers in the summer. There's license plates from all over the Midwest. This is a great place to be in so many different ways. So I fell in love with Milwaukee, love the university. I'm just incredibly passionate about this place. I think the work ethic of our students, I look at the success, where our students go, and then how they stay, the alumni that are in this area, where we have 158,000 alumni, 80% of whom stay in this area. What a community. I mean, we really make Milwaukee. So I look at this and I say, for the long run, I'd love to be here, and it just makes so much sense. So the surprise is that I stayed here as long as I did, and yet now the commitment is there for a long, long time.
That's all the questions I have then. Is there anything else you wanted to add?
I will say, I've always got to throw in something else. I think that, you know, our mission, the powerful thing about UWM that I'd want everybody to embrace, and I think so many people do, is we want to focus on educational quality, what we do in the classroom, but the difference here is how we combine that with the research and have students involved in so many activities. And that type of what we call high-impact practice or another way to learn is so important. So I think students have opportunities here that they just don't have as much elsewhere to really engage in a type of out-of-classroom type of experience. So I want to continue to see that grow. And I'm really optimistic about our future. Despite the challenges, I think we can move this campus ahead in great ways.
Okay.
So.